know what time it is? It's time to ball about the South with C. Wood. Ball about the South, coming at you from a Southern perspective on the NFL, NBA, HBCU, and of course, some of the best talk and analysis on the SEC. Real sports talk, real Southern flavor. Follow me and the show at C. Wood on Sports on X and IG. And now, it's time to ball about the South. Yes, sir. It is C. Wood back at you again with another hard-hitting episode of Ball About the South with C. Wood. I definitely want to welcome you in. Really appreciate you coming in, taking a little bit of time out of your busy schedule to listen to little old me. And without further ado, man, I'm not going to waste any of your time. We're going to get into the show. I do want to say one thing. I do hope that you like, subscribe, do, and share the podcast as well. Whether you listen on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Google, whatever it is, I definitely hope that you do those three things if you're not doing so already. If it's your first time, I definitely hope it is not your last coming by to Ball About the South with C. Wood. Anyway, man, let's get into it. A lot to talk about. I was not with you last week, but we're going to cover a lot of ground here and try to do as quickly as I can and as efficiently as I can as we enter week 8, which is just insane to even think about that we're entering week 8 of the college football season, and week 7 of the NFL season has already begun, as last night the New Orleans Saints, man, the Saints and the Jacksonville Jaguars went to battle there at the Caesars Superdome in New Orleans. And it turned out to be a pretty decent game, I guess you could say. Definitely a higher scoring game than I thought that it would be. Ended up 31-24, the Jacksonville Jaguars winning and taking their record 5-2. The Jaguars winning their fourth straight game, and they are starting to roll in the AFC South pretty good there. They've had some close calls, though, and that was another one last night. Moreau, I think the tight end there for New Orleans, doesn't haul in that pass from Derek Carr, we're probably looking at overtime in that game last night, but some kind of way Moreau did not pull that pass in, and it was just another reason probably for New Orleans Saints fans to really get down on Derek Carr and this offense. It was just a nightmare night for Saints fans as they looked at their offense, man, and they got off to a really slow start, got down 24-9 after the pick six that was thrown by Derek Carr there in the third quarter. But they, you know, look, you have to give them credit. They battled back. They scored those two touchdowns. Alvin Kamara had a nice game, and they were able to get it to 24-24 to tie it up with the two-point conversion and everything. And then here goes Christian Kirk from that pass from Trevor Lawrence. He takes it the distance. Jacksonville wins the game 31-24. Look, I have to obviously admit, look, I was big on Derek Carr moving from the Las Vegas Raiders to the New Orleans Saints. I thought it was a really good move for the Saints. So far, it has not come to fruition yet. I still, you know, I don't think, well, I mean, Derek Carr has definitely not been the player that I thought that he could be for the Saints. I do think there are other issues with this team. They definitely, I think, are lacking a little bit on the offensive line. You know, Chris, you sit there and look at Michael Thomas. He's come back. He has made a nice comeback, I think. But Chris Olave, you sit there and look at his stats. They're a little bit underwhelming, if you ask me. Just not getting the production offensively out of this football team. And that's really a shame, because the defense has done their part for the most part, really, until last night. I mean, you have to be, look, let's just be real. the defense gave up that winning, that game winning touchdown to Christian Kirk, and they gave up 31 points. Well, they gave up 24 because 7 of those points was the pick 6 from Derek Carr, so we can't put that on the Saints defense. But you get what I'm saying. It's been one thing or another for the Saints as they fall to 3-4 on the season. It's been one thing after another in these games that they have lost. And they continue to look up at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers, they lose last Sunday to the Detroit Lions. They're 3-2. They had their bye week already, so they played one less game than everyone else in the division. So they and they have a big game this coming weekend against the Falcons. They host Atlanta in Tampa Bay this coming Sunday. Huge game, really, for both those teams. And I think it's really obviously huge for the Falcons. I mean, this is another team that's been underwhelming offensively. And Arthur Smith is being called out. A lot of people talking down on Desmond Ridder. I think a lot of people are underwhelmed at how Bijan Robinson is being used in this offense. I think I'm one of those guys that would say the same thing. This team has weapons, and for whatever reason, they're not getting the football. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's just Desmond Ridder, but he's had his struggles. But, you know, you kind of expect that from a young guy like he is. We'll see if the Falcons are able to straighten this thing out, because if you sit there and look at them defensively, they've done the job. I think they're giving up the 4th least points in the NFL right now. So, I mean, defensively, they're getting the job done. But the offense is not joining the party as consistently as the Falcons would like them to. So we'll see if they're able to get that going. The Buccaneers, again, 3-2 right now. They'll look to go 4-2 and remain on top of the division there. I'll give you my pick on that game, obviously, toward the end of the show, like I always do. And of course, not just that game, but all of the games concerning the teams here in the South, whether it be the AFC, NFC South. Obviously, we look at the Miami Dolphins. And if you look at the title of this particular episode, it is Tua versus Jalen. And for obvious good reasons, because the Sunday night game this week is the Miami Dolphins, who sit 5-1 in the AFC East. They travel to the Lincoln Financial Stadium, or Lincoln Financial Field, whatever it is. They're in Philadelphia to face the 5-1 Philadelphia Eagles. And the Eagles are 5-1. Coming off a 3-interception game from Jalen Hurts. And, talking about this huge game coming up, obviously your thoughts go back to when both of these players were at the University of Alabama. Jalen Hurts obviously starting quarterback there for 2 seasons. Took the Crimson Tide to 2 national championship games. Unfortunately, he had to kind of bow out at halftime because, Nick Saban thought that Tua Tagovailoa obviously would be more effective there against the Georgia Bulldogs in that 2018 national championship game. And it turns out Nick Saban was correct on that. And you know all the history from there. Alabama wins the national championship on the 2nd-and-26 pass from Tua to Devontae Smith, who's also a Philadelphia Eagle, which makes this thing even crazier when you sit there and think about it. Tua, the guy that took Jalen's spot, is going to be on the opposite side of the field against Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts, and also Landon Dickerson, who was also on that team as well. Just an insane matchup when you sit there and you look at it from that standpoint. So obviously that is, a huge talking point about from a lot of people this coming week here in week 7 of the NFL here in 2023. And of course, man, Jalen, you got to give him all the credit in the world. The patience that he showed after Tua was, you know, came in and replaced him at halftime of that national championship game. You know, everybody thought he should have transferred somewhere else. They had, even had people thinking that he should have maybe just transferred to an FCS school. I really thought at the time, I really did not think that was a good idea, because I felt like Jalen had done enough in his first two seasons to at least be on the radar for NFL teams to kind of get some film on him. What good was it going to do to go to the FCS level and play against lesser competition, at least for the most part? I mean, look, there's no disrespect to any of the FCS programs, but at that time or now, but that to me was the you know, obviously was what was going to happen. I mean, Jalen Hurts, he wouldn't have gotten a lot of credit for that. So I thought it was the right thing for him to do to graduate from Alabama, wait out his time, and then transfer and have a full season somewhere else. And it just happened to work out. Oklahoma needed a quarterback, and the rest is history. You know, I think obviously to me two things that happened before he went to Oklahoma. One, Alabama hired Dan Enos as the quarterback's coach. I thought that was a real huge help for him, coming off the, I think, somewhat where his sophomore season, where he really did not progress a lot from his freshman season. And that was under current New York Giants coach Brian Daboll. He was the offensive coordinator at Bama for a season, and he was a little bit, Alabama obviously had a successful season and all of that. I think a lot of Alabama fans would agree that Jalen Hurts did not progress the way we would like to have seen him from freshman to sophomore, and that enabled Tua to be able to take his spot. But then Dan Enos came in there in Jalen Hurts' junior year. I think he helped him a lot. And of course, the biggest thing that Jalen did was he just worked his ass off when he corrected the things that he needed to correct. Because if you go back and you look at it, Jalen was a guy that had happy feet in the pocket. I mean, he was, you know, quick to run out of clean pockets, or, you know, or maybe to run a little bit too early. He was also a guy that would stare down receivers, whether that receiver was a guy like Calvin Ridley or a guy like Jerry Jeudy back then. He had some of the same tendencies. So Tua was a guy that kind of spread the ball around. So at the time, Tua was just a better quarterback. But right now, both of these guys are doing their thing in the NFL, and both of them are on top of the food chain of NFL quarterbacks in the NFL. And this Alabama fan is happy to see it. And I'm going to sit here Sunday night with my popcorn ready. Cannot wait for that Sunday night. As Tua versus Jalen goes down. And who knows? Maybe it's the first matchup. Maybe they'll have another matchup in February. We'll see. Anyway, like I said, a lot to get to in this show, man. And right now we're a little bit less than a week away from the NBA kicking off, or tipping off for real. Obviously, we've been in preseason for a couple of weeks. Got to see my Houston Rockets up close and personal here in Birmingham last week. I was happy about that. We have maybe like most teams are either done with preseason or maybe have one more preseason game. So I think everything kicks off Tuesday night, and obviously we'll have a doubleheader, I think, those first two or three nights. So a lot to look forward to there. And I'll just kind of, not going to go into a full preview necessarily, but I'm going to kind of give you my thoughts of what to look for in the Southeast and Southwest divisions. Give you my thoughts on who I think is going to win both those divisions. Some players to look out for. Odds and ends. And, you know, I'll look around the rest of the NBA as well, just to kind of give you my thoughts as we get ready to tip things off for the 2023-24 NBA season. And obviously, right here in the middle of football, we're going to get into college football, NFL, what to look for this weekend. Obviously, some huge games coming up. It is the third Saturday in October. You know what that means. The Crimson Tide and the Volunteers are going to do battle there in Tuscaloosa. almost named this kind of like a Third Saturday Revenge with a question mark behind it. That was kind of the title I was looking at for this particular episode at first. Then I kind of changed it up. Huge game for Alabama as they try to get revenge for that loss, that 52-49 loss last season to the Tennessee Volunteers. And I think one stat, and maybe I shouldn't even say this, me being an Alabama fan, I'm a superstitious. I don't get superstitious about anything else but sports. And I'm sitting there looking at Will Riker. Will Riker, if you don't know, is the place kicker for the University of Alabama. The last time that Will Riker missed a field goal was with, what was it, what, 30 seconds, 35 seconds, whatever it was, left in that game in Knoxville last season. Now, that was a 53, 54-yard field goal, something like that, that would have put Alabama in front, that he missed. And of course, the rest is history. Alabama just completely came up with the the softest prevent defense I think I've ever seen, and the only thing it prevented was Alabama winning the game as Tennessee went and took that game. So we'll talk a little bit about that game, obviously, coming up. Huge game for both teams as Tennessee tries to stay in the race there in the SEC East, and Alabama tries to stay atop the SEC West. Also talk about a couple of other teams. We got one huge injury there in the SEC East. Brock Bowers, we'll talk a little bit about that. Got a couple of injuries in the NFL, too, we'll talk about. I do want to go, before we switch gears here, I definitely want to congratulate the WNBA champion Las Vegas Aces, and I should say the two-time repeat WNBA champion Las Vegas Aces, as they, without Chelsea Gray the other night, they go out and they do their thing against the New York Liberty, winning that series 3-1. They win the game 70-69. Vandersloot had it all lined up. She was on fire for the most part during that game, hitting threes. The Aces really were kind of leaving her open as they kind of focused in on Jonquel Jones and obviously Breonna Stewart and Sabrina Ionescu. They were kind of leaving her open, and she was kind of making Las Vegas pay there for a good while. Fortunately, as me, I am a Vegas fan as well. She missed that shot, and that was enough for the Aces to win their second consecutive WNBA title. Obviously, Asia Wilson, who did not win the MVP for the regular season. Matter of fact, she finished third. She wins the real one. She wins the MVP that really mattered. And, the Aces topped the WNBA again. And by the way, even though she was sitting over there in street clothes, Candace Parker becomes the first WNBA player to win a title with three separate teams. Obviously with the Sparks, she won one with the Chicago Sky a few years ago, and obviously this season with the Las Vegas Aces. So congratulations to her. Congratulations to all of those ladies. Job well done. We're also in baseball season. We got playoffs going on there. The NLCS is going on. The ALCS is going on. The NLCS was without the Atlanta Braves. It was without the Los Angeles Dodgers. Those are the two best records in the game. Both of those teams are out. Also, the Baltimore Orioles are out. Also, they had the third best record in the game. Crazy, crazy stuff. And a lot of people are asking the question, is this Major League Baseball playoff system fair? Is it a good one? Because this is the second consecutive season for the Braves and the Dodgers that neither one, even though they were atop the food chain there in the NL, in the National League, neither one of them are going to make the World Series. And this is the second time in a row that the Dodgers have lost to a team in their own division. Last year it was the Padres. This year it was the Diamondbacks. crazy stuff. So right now you have the Phillies and Diamondbacks doing battle, and you have the All Texas affair there with the Rangers and the Astros. The Astros have tied that series up at 2-2. Who would have thunk it after they lost their first two games? That was an easy bet right there that the Astros were going to come back and even that series. The Astros were really horrible at home this season. I think they had they were below 500, as a matter of fact, for their home record at home, which is kind of crazy. And so obviously, you know, they've been killing it on the road. So anyway, we'll see how those series turn out as we go forward and get closer to the World Series. Anyway, man, we're going to take a little really quick break. We're going to switch gears and we're going to get into some college football. We'll go about the SEC. We'll talk about some other games. A couple big ACC games coming up. We'll talk NFL. We'll talk some of those big matchups that are coming up this weekend there. And of course, I'll get into that NBA talk. We'll do all that on the other side. You listen to Ball About the South with C. Wood. All right, y'all, let's get back in. Ball About the South, and we're going to go into a little bit of NBA talk as we get ready for the NBA 2023-2024 season to tip off here in just a few days. Definitely looking forward to seeing that. Enjoyed the preseason so far. Couple things, you know, just kind of around the NBA in general that I kind of want to talk about really quick. A couple teams I'm kind of looking forward to seeing. See how they do with their new players and new faces in new places. You look at this trade with Dame Lillard. I obviously you have to favor the Bucks as far as, you know, making this deal, because obviously the thing that Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak, and Middleton have been missing is another guy that can kind of score alongside of them. They really needed someone else. And then even, of course, Middleton was unavailable a lot last season as well. So it was a lot of really just Giannis going against, you know, with no one else except, you know, I guess, you know, Drew Holiday. But Drew Holiday is not looked at as a big-time scorer necessarily. So they definitely needed that extra punch. And no question Dame brings that, but is it going to be enough? And then what about Dame on the defensive end? Those are my two questions. And, you know, that was that was my question with Drew Holiday. Now Drew Holiday is a Boston Celtic, which was absolutely a chess move, in my opinion. The Celtics were not playing checkers with that move. They go out and get Drew Holiday, and it really kind of changed the dynamic again before we even get into the season. Now, the Celtics lose Robert Williams in that trade, so you look at it, you know, them losing their biggest enforcer around the rim, that is going to be something they're going to have to figure out. And, you know, the guy that some people said that may kind of replace him, William Gabriel, Celtics have already waived him. So, not really sure how that's going to work. But I still have to favor the Celtics in this, because I think then if you put out a guy, a two-way guy, a guy that can defend the perimeter, that can defend multiple positions like Drew Holiday can, and he can score. I mean, he's not going to be 25 a game or anything necessarily, but he's going to obviously be a guy that's going to be one of their significant scorers in that team as well. I just, you know, for me, going them and also Boston going out and getting Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis is not a banger on the inside or anything like that, but he can defend the rim pretty decent. He's a pretty good shot blocker when he wants to be. And obviously, you know, we know the offensive attributes he brings to the table. And they also still have Al Horford. I mean, Al Horford is about 65 years old now, but they still have him there. So, for me, give me the Celtics in the Eastern Conference, man. I just really believe that overall they're still the better team over the Bucks right now. I do believe Boston runs away with that. Not runs away with it, but I think they walk away with the Eastern Conference. And I like them facing the Lakers. Yeah, the L.A. Lakers out of the Western Conference. Because when I look at, obviously their teams that you want to talk about would be Phoenix Suns. Obviously the defending champs, the Denver Nuggets. I mean, you know, cannot forget about them. I'm interested to see what Phoenix does, obviously with KD and Booker and having Bradley Beal kind of playing the point. That's going to be interesting to see how that works out. I don't think it's going to be a big deal who plays point necessarily. I think the ball will move. You have a couple guys out there that will know how to get their own shots and all of that. So I don't know if it's going to be a huge deal, but we'll have to see, man. Phoenix obviously traded away DeAndre Ayton finally. That was something that they have been rumored to want to do for a long time, and they finally got it done. They go out and get Jusuf Nurkić from the Portland Trail Blazers in that same deal. You know, I like Nurkić for the most part, don't get me wrong, but you know, he's had his health issues as well. He's not been around for Portland at times here in the last two or three seasons, so it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. Is Nurkić going to be kind of an enforcer around the rim that Phoenix is probably going to need? I mean, because look, Phoenix is their only weakness. Well, I'm not going to say their only weakness, but their biggest weakness with them around the rim, in the paint, defensively, rebounding, things of that nature. So it's going to be interesting to see how they work that out. Obviously, Chris Paul being in Golden State is going to be very, very intriguing to watch. And again, talk about the defending champs. They lose a couple of those guys off of that team. I still like this team very much. It's just so hard to repeat. It's just so difficult to repeat. We'll see if they're able to get it done. I still like this team. I still like the way that they want it. And it doesn't seem like, you know, usually it's a copycat league, and I don't see many teams trying to really copycat off of them, because the Nuggets did it with size. They did it with teamwork. They did it, you know, because everybody's talking about, oh, well, you got to have a big three. You got to at least have a big two to be in the conversation. And, you know, we could sit there and say they have a big two or whatever, but really, truly, man, they just did it. They did it so much differently than we've seen it done. Maybe the Bucks team was kind of very, you know, was kind of similar, I would say. With size, mid-range shooting, I mean, don't get me wrong, they could go out and shoot threes when they had to. But it wasn't the focal point of their offense, and we all know what the Joker can do. So don't get me wrong, I definitely think Denver is going to be right there. I just think with the additions that the Lakers have made, you sit there and think about Christian Wood, I think is going to be a nice addition for that team. Torian Prince, I think he's a guy that can be a good that can definitely spell LeBron when he's out. I just really like this team. And then going out and getting Gabe Vincent, they're deep, man. They're deep at the point guard spot. They're deep. They have Reeves back. They signed him back. This team, to me, is loaded. And I really like them. And I think they'll come out of the West, man. I really do. So that's kind of how my broad view of the NBA, really quick. But what about the Eastern? What about the South, man? What about the Southeastern Division? What about the Southwest Division? For me, in the Southeast Division, I think it's pretty simple. I think it really, for both divisions, is pretty simple. I like, in the Southeast, I still have to go with Miami. I think they've done, obviously, enough, but obviously it's a big-time disappointment that they did not bring in Dame Lillard. huge disappointment, in my opinion. It was rumored that that was where he was going to be, and they did not get it done. I say that, and I can remember saying some of the same things last season, and they ended up in the NBA Finals. So, take it with a grain of salt, but I really believe that Dame Lillard should have been in Miami. That should have been the focus for that franchise, and they did not get it done. So they come back, and they also lost Gabe Vincent, which could be a pretty decent loss. They get Tyler Hero back, which would be huge. He had the big injury last year during the playoffs. So they get Hero back, team up with Jimmy Butler. He came into camp with his hair fried. I can't remember how they said that. Fried, died, and laid to the side or whatever. So they get their backcourt back. Obviously, they still have one of the better interior players in the game, and Bam Adebayo. They have him back. And they have that bench. I mean, that bench came through for them for the most part last season. So, you sit down and you look at the rest of that division. The Hawks, I like a couple of their moves. I like a couple of their draft picks. Bufkin is one that I really look at as being a pretty nice addition for that team. But when I just can't get past the backcourt for Atlanta, man. I cannot get past Trae Young and DeJounte Murray in that backcourt. I'm just not a fan of it. I wasn't a fan of it last season before the season started. And I just don't think that this is going to be the combination that is going to be very productive for the Hawks to get further along in the playoffs. I just don't see it. So, and then they go out and they sign DeJounte Murray back, which is kind of puzzling to me, to be honest with you. So, pretty much the same crew other than that with the Hawks. We got Capella, Okongwu on the interior. You got DeAndre Hunter, you got Bogdanovich on the wings, so again, a good basketball team, do not get me wrong, but in the grand scheme of things, I just don't see this team really being a threat to the top two teams in the Eastern Conference. I just don't really see that. I don't think they're better than the Miami Heat. Moving along in the Southeast Division, for me, I think next in line, you'd have to talk about the Orlando Magic. For me, I mean, this team has come along. Obviously, they have the reigning Rookie of the Year in Paolo Banchero. He's been active this offseason, playing with the USA in the FIBA World Cup games and all of that. They get Jonathan Isaac back. This team is so long when you think about them. You're talking about Wendell Carter Jr., obviously Banchero, Austin. I mean, this is probably the longest team in the NBA. And they get Cole Anthony back off of his injuries from last season. I'm very intrigued to see where this team goes. Every time I think this team is turning a corner, they stop at the corner. So maybe this is the season that they actually make that turn and make the play-in, or who knows, maybe make the playoffs. We'll see. Again, healthy, they've got to stay healthy and all of that. But I really like what they're doing in Orlando. It's just them having to kind of piece everything together. We'll see how they do that. And then, of course, the next team that you're going to really talk about a lot in the Southeast Division, the Washington Wizards, and they go out and they get Jordan Poole. They get Tyus Jones from Memphis. So I like that backcourt. It's going to be interesting to see how Jordan Poole does away from Golden State. A lot of people talking about that right now. This dude, I think he's a pretty good ball player. I really do. I think he's probably going to be inconsistent, and kind of see that already. He had a 40-point game at MSG, Madison Square Garden, just a couple of nights ago. And then just tonight, he sits there and he scores 7 points, I think, on 1 of 15 shooting. So that, I think that's probably what you're going to get a lot of if you're a Wizards fan. We'll see how it goes. Obviously, they get rid of Kristaps Porzingis. And the Wizards are another team. I do like the addition of Poole, though. I think you have to go out and get someone that can put the ball in the hole. And he can do that. We'll see if he can do it consistently. That's going to be the question. Tyus Jones can be the floor general of this team. Obviously, he's been a backup in Memphis for so long. A lot of people think he's the best backup point guard in the league. So that could be a big help that he now has his own team. We'll see how that goes. But I think the Wizards are a possible play-in team. We'll see how it works. I mean, another guy that remains with that ball club is Kyle Kuzma. They signed him back in the offseason. And then bringing up the rear, unfortunately, would be the Charlotte Hornets. And a bit of news for them, or at least for Brandon Miller, that is, their number one pick in the draft. There's a lawsuit coming down from the family of Jameer Harris that was announced today. And he is named in it for his role in what happened to their daughter, to Jameer Harris, their family. And that terrible incident that happened in Tuscaloosa with Darius Miles and his friend or whatever, and the shooting death of Jameer Harris. So I'm not at all surprising that they would do that. And definitely hope that their family finds justice that they absolutely deserve in this whole thing. But getting back to the basketball part of it, Brandon Miller joins that basketball team. A lot of people thinking that they should have gotten Scoot Henderson. I still go back and say that, look, you have LaMelo Ball. I just don't think LaMelo Ball and Scoot Henderson would have been a good pairing. I mean, obviously, you know, I know the old saying that you go out, you just get the best player. And I definitely make a justification where Scoot Henderson was the better player. But I still think Brandon Miller was a hell of a player. And I think you can put him at a position there on your wing for the next 10, 15 years possibly and be just fine. And I just, you know, I'm not really understanding the issue with that, but it is what it is. We'll see how it goes. But for me, I think it's going to be a long, I think the Hornets still have a long way to go in this thing. And you sit there and look at their Miles Bridges is in more trouble again, another domestic violence incident. And I'm not sure what his status is going to be going forward. Just ridiculous, man, what he is doing with his career. So I just think the Hornets are going to be a real struggle case this season, and we'll see how it goes. But I do have them bringing up the rear in the Southeastern Division. In the Southwest Division, man, I have to go with the Memphis Grizzlies right now. And right, you know, I would go with the Pelicans. I cannot trust them right now. I cannot trust New Orleans. I cannot trust Zion Williamson's health, Brandon Ingram's health. I think both of them look good right now in the preseason. Obviously, they have their kind of big three, I guess you'd call it, with C.J. McCollum. They have Valanciunas on the inside. They have Herb Jones. They have a good bench. Ordinarily, I would favor New Orleans in that. But I can't look past Memphis. And then, of course, when you sit there and you think about the Grizzlies, the first thing you think about is this 25-game suspension for Ja Morant. I just don't think it's going to make that big a difference. I think Memphis is going to be fine. I don't think they're going to go 0-25. I don't think they're going to go 5-20 or something like that. I think they'll go somewhere at least around 500. And I think they'll kind of hold it in the road. At least that. They have Marcus Smart, which is a huge move for them in the offseason as well. I just think Memphis is going to be okay during this whole thing. I don't think it's going to be the disaster that some people are thinking that it's going to be. So I have Memphis winning this division again. And I have to go with the Pelicans second. Got to keep a watch on Zion Williamson, though. Will he be able to stay healthy? Let's hope that he does as that team continues to grow around him and B.I. Brandon Ingram. The Dallas Mavericks are going to be an interesting case as well. If they do get Kyrie Irving back, they team him up with Luka Doncic. Again, I'm not a big fan of that marriage. I don't like it. It's not that anything against Kyrie necessarily. Definitely not anything against Luka Doncic. I just think that you have to have someone that's going to really want to play defense. I think Kyrie Irving is a guy that when he wants to, he can get out there and defend. Don't get me wrong. But Luka Doncic is just not that guy. And then they did get Derek Lively in the draft from Duke to be kind of interior presence, but they still don't, to me, they still don't have enough interior presence, and that was obviously the Mavericks' biggest weak points the last couple of years. So I have them coming in third. And the final two positions are going to be interesting because you got San Antonio was obviously the player that everyone thinks is going to be the next rookie of the year, and that would be Victor Wembanyama. Wemby has looked incredible in the preseason. He's going to be, this weight that this dude gets his feet under for real, this is going to be ridiculous. I think the Rockets are a better basketball team overall, though. That is my team. Got a chance to see them up close and personal last week here in Birmingham. Really loved that. I think the Rockets are a much improved team. I'm extremely excited about this team. No question. They bring in Fred VanVleet to run the point. They bring in Dylan Brooks. And I understand a lot of Memphis fans are laughing at that. But I think, and they paid Dylan Brooks a lot of money, probably too much money. Don't get me wrong. But I think with Dylan Brooks, man, I think what he brings to the table for the Rockets isn't, if nothing else, is an example of how his grittiness, okay? And, you know, you can sit there and talk about him because he came in first preseason game and was ejected, all right? The low blow to Daniel Tice, okay? I understand all that. But I do think that he brings a grittiness to the table that a lot of these Rockets players, these young Rockets, need to learn. And I think he's going to be a good example, at least for that. And I still think he's a pretty good ball player for the most part. I mean, he's a guy that takes some crazy shots sometimes. I understand all of that, too. But I really am not too mad at the acquisition. Obviously, Fred VanVleet coming in to run the show should help. Jalen Green should help Jabari Smith Jr. For me, I think Jabari Smith Jr. is going to be the number one option on this team eventually. Really liking what this team has to bring to the table. I'm definitely excited about Alperen Şengün. Most Rockets fans call him LP. I call him Goon. That's what I want him to be in the interior. And again, I think he's going to be just fine. I think this Rockets team is going to be fine. I think the Rockets finish ahead of the Spurs. And I think, I don't want to sit here and think of a win total. I think the Rockets are a team that could possibly get to the play-in. It's going to take a lot in the Western Conference. The Western Conference is so deep. Even the Southwest Division is pretty deep, as I just noted. So it's going to be very tough, but I think the Rockets can improve from those 22 wins from last season and at least get to 30. We'll see. Just have to see how it goes. So, but anyway, that's my Southwest Division. And again, the Spurs are going to be a must-see just for Victor Wembanyama. They also have some nice guys to go with him, with Keldon Johnson and Vassell and some of those other guys there. So going to be a really good season, I think, in both those divisions. But for me, give me the Miami Heat in the Southeast and give me the Memphis Grizzlies in the Southwest. Yeah. And again, I like the Celtics and the Lakers in my NBA Finals. Yeah, going back to the 80s again, I guess. One other caveat, one other thing I want to mention is James Harden. That deal is still not done for him to get to the Clippers. He's still trying to force that to happen. He's doing what he does. He's been sitting out practice and all of that. This dude is a piece of work, man. I'm so happy, again, that he is not wearing the red and white of the Houston Rockets. Let someone else deal with that mess. It's, you know, I think it would be totally stupid for him to go to the Clippers. I just don't think it's a good mix to bring him to a team with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Even though, yeah, I understand he averaged 21 and 10 last season, which were big time numbers. Don't get me wrong, but Joel Embiid to me had a lot to do with that. And even so, when you sit there and you look at those stats, Joel Embiid won the MVP. You had James Harden putting up those kind of stats. You had Tyrese Maxey. You had Tobias Harris. You had some of those other guys that Philadelphia had, and they still could not finish where they could have home court advantage against the Celtics in that second round. I mean, come on, man. I mean, seriously. So, again, we'll see how it goes, but I definitely would not do that deal if I was the Clippers, so we'll see if they get it done. But more than likely, you know it will, and it's going to be very interesting to see just how it works out. Anyway, man, we're going to shift gears really quick and get back into football. So as we switch gears into football, man, if we get ready to talk about week 8 in the NCAA college football, week 7 in the NFL. Got to go back to what the Saturday is, man. Well, the Sunday competition there, Sunday night, Jalen and the Eagles hosting Tua and the Dolphins. Got to give you my pick on that. Man, both these teams come in 5-1 on the season. Really good matchup. And also another thing, the Eagles added Julio Jones to the mix this past week. Not really sure if he's going to play this week, but he is going to be on the roster. So they figured they needed a little bit of help at wide receiver. So they go out and get former Alabama wide receiver, and he's really the guy that really started this whole thing. He was the first really huge recruit that Nick Saban really brought in at skill position, because Alabama was void of a lot of skill players that made the NFL prior to Nick Saban coming to town, and he was really that first big recruit coming in. So, man, this is Alabama reunion coming up on Saturday. Should be played on Saturday, right? On Sunday night football there. I like the Eagles in this game still. I think I like teams that are coming off of a loss. And the Eagles have not lost much here in the last couple seasons. And I think they're going to be ticked off that they lost that game last week to the Jets. And I think that's going to be enough to get them past. And the Dolphins' defense kind of scares me a little bit. I think they're pretty good overall, but they have, man, you know, Carolina was able to go up and down the field on them a couple times there early in that first half. They got things going. After that, I think they kind of identified that Adam Thielen was really the only guy that's really making plays in a Panthers uniform right now. And they kind of figured that out. And they went on and they were able to slow the Panthers down after that. But I think the Eagles may be able to enjoy some offensive success in this football game. I don't think it's going to be necessarily high scoring, but I do think that it gets to probably near 30 points for whoever wins this game. Maybe whoever wins this game may need to score 30. For me, I think it's the Eagles. I've got them winning this game 31-24. I think it's going to be a really good game. But I think the Eagles, coming off that loss, they're going to have a little bit of a, you know, added focus into this game that's already, you know, a game that they're already going to be focused on big time. Give me the Eagles to win that football game on Sunday night. Let's look at a couple of other games in the NFL. as we move forward coming up this weekend. The big one, the other big one, I would say around these parts, the Falcons at the Bucks. Very interesting football game. No one, I don't believe, really thought that we were going to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers be as successful as they've been so far. They come in 2.5-point favor here as the home team. I like the Buccaneers in this spot. I think they found enough on offense. And again, coming into the season, you knew that Baker Mayfield had at least maybe some of the better weapons in this division. And we think about Mike Evans, you think about, you know, and Mike Evans has been fantastic. And I think that that is going to be enough for them to get over the hump in this football game. They're coming off the loss to Detroit last weekend. The Falcons have got to find something to get Desmond Ridder and company going. Defensively, they've been pretty good, so maybe they'll be able to hold, you know, kind of keep the Falcons in the game. All in all, I like the Buccaneers in this game, man. And I'm going to go with the Buccaneers winning it 27-20. I like that score. Give me the Buccaneers to beat the Falcons on Sunday afternoon. That game is a noon kickoff. Well, it's noon my time. I guess it'll be 1 o'clock Eastern time. Let's look at a couple other games. Pretty much everyone else is off in the AFC South, except for the Indianapolis Colts, and they play host to the Cleveland Browns. The Browns come in 3-point favorite in that football game. Obviously, Anthony Richardson, and that is part of a huge talk around the AFC South. You had three quarterbacks of the four that had injuries going on. Trevor Lawrence was able to make the start and able to play through his injuries on Thursday night against the Saints. But you have Ryan Tannehill, who is going to be a question mark next week when the Titans play. And also you have, of course, the Anthony Richardson situation, where he is going to be out for the season with the shoulder injury that's going to require for him to have surgery. So that is a big blow to the Colts. That's obviously a big blow to Richardson himself, is, you know, kind of losing his rookie season. He, in my opinion, was playing pretty well with that. Unfortunate to see him go down, but I think he'll be just fine coming back. I think he showed that he has the ability to be really good in this league. And so I think that's going to be, again, it's just one of those things that they're going to have to wait on him a little bit there in Indianapolis. But for that game, for me, the Cleveland's defense has been unbelievable. They've come up with the upset last week over the 49ers. They stifled the 49ers offense there in the second half. I think the Browns come in, they get the victory in a tight game there. Give me the Browns 20-16 over the Indianapolis Colts. So, really, you can sit there and look at the rest of the schedule. A couple of interesting games, man. Well, that's really about it in the South. You have the Lions going to the Ravens, which is a pretty good matchup. Ravens come in 3-point favorite in that one. I think that's probably one of the more, maybe the most intriguing game. You have the Chargers visiting the Chiefs in that AFC West battle. We'll see how that comes out. The Chiefs come in 5.5-point favorites. I'd have to go with the Chiefs, but the Chargers have had some, they've had some success there at Arrowhead here in the last couple seasons, so it would not surprise me at all if they are able to come out victorious in that game. Steelers at the Rams was an interesting contest. I think that's really more the intriguing games that we have to look at, man. And then obviously the Monday night game is the 49ers at the Vikings. So I would expect the 49ers to come back strong in that matchup as well, just like I expect the Eagles to do. So the two teams that came in undefeated last week but came out of last week with the loss. Anyway, man, let's jump into college football, man. And obviously for me, like I said, the big game, the big matchup of the day around the country is obviously at the Horseshoe. You got Penn State and Ohio State doing battle. I got the Nittany Lions winning that game. Obviously, I think it could go either way, but I'm gonna pick the Penn State Nittany Lions to win that football game. Something just kind of tells me that that's gonna happen. I just kind of have just maybe a feeling that I have. I can't really tell you that I think Penn State's really better than Ohio State, but I just have not been as impressed with Ohio State as I thought that I would be. Give me the Penn State Nittany Lions in a really close matchup there. Well, let's get into the South. And the big matchup here is absolutely the third Saturday in October. You talk about the Alabama Crimson Tide, ranked number 11, against the 17th ranked Tennessee Volunteers. Man, obviously that huge game last year, 52-49, the Volunteers get the victory. For me, you look back at Alabama right now, they get the victory last weekend, 24-21, over the Arkansas Razorbacks, but they had to really hold on for dear life. For me, I think, you know, you sit there and you look at the second half, the offense was a train wreck. They got nothing done. They only came up with the field goal that they got early in the third quarter, and other than that, they did not score again. And they had to have a couple huge plays, one in the run game, one by Jalen Milroe, to finally put the game away. I look at that, and then Jalen Milroe, I think you have to really notate his struggles there in the second half. I think he only had like two completions in the second half. I think it was like 2 for 8 or 2 for 9, something like that. He's not throwing the ball as much as a lot of quarterbacks are anyway. So when you have halves like that, it gets magnified even more. For me, I think that there are a couple things going on in this game. I think one, you had the week before where there was so much focus on Alabama visiting Texas A&M. There was so much focus on what would Alabama's offensive line do with Texas A&M's defensive line. How would Jalen Milroe react in front of 100,000 fans cheering against him? Those were the huge questions, and Alabama answered all those questions successfully. And then you sit there and you come up to this week, you have Tennessee, which is looked at as the revenge game. Obviously, it's looked at as a bigger game than what you had against Arkansas. And so, and then you sandwich Arkansas at 11 a.m., homecoming. You sandwich that in between those two games, between the Texas A&M game and the Tennessee game. And I think this, that's the kind of performance that you get. It's not... not trying to make an excuse for them. That's just kind of how I saw it being. So I'm not as worried as some people came out, as worried as much as some people were about Alabama's second half performance. I think they'll be fine. Again, this is another huge test. I mean, Tennessee's front line is maybe as good, maybe even better than Texas A&M's at times. They're going to have... if Alabama's offensive line plays the way they played against Arkansas, they're going to feast on Jalen Milroe. So I'm hoping that Tommy Reese, offensive coordinator, is incorporated some quarterback runs, some screen plays, things of that nature. Those are things we have not seen a lot of, that things that can kind of maybe slow down the rush a little bit. We've not seen any of that. Hopefully we'll see more help if Caden Proctor, the left tackle, who's a true freshman, if he's having issues, maybe they can slide some protection over to him. Maybe they can slide Robbie Oots from his H-back or tight end position, or C.J. Dupree or whoever. Maybe have some running back help in there or whatever to help out with pass protection and all of that. The Volunteers offensively, a lot different than they were last year, man. Obviously, we knew it was going to take a little bit of a hit going from Hendon Hooker to Milton. Milton is not the quarterback that Hooker was. Still, doesn't mean he's not good. Doesn't mean he can't use his legs. Doesn't mean he's not a huge threat to this Alabama defense. Just not the passing game that we were used to seeing last season. Now, again, it would not surprise me to see them make some plays in the pass game. They run the ball very well. Now, they are one of the best running teams in the SEC, and that is going to test Alabama's defense as well. Much different team, but still a very big threat in the Volunteers, the big team that wears orange coming into Tuscaloosa. Who wins that game? I think Alabama, with the home field advantage, I think with that revenge factor in mind, I think they get it done. I think Alabama's coming in around a 10-point favorite. I kind of like Tennessee maybe to come under that. Maybe I think it's close. I can see Alabama winning this game by around 10 points or so. I was thinking was maybe 30 to 20, 27-17, something like that. Would not surprise me at all. I probably, if I had to make a bet, I probably would pick Tennessee to come in slightly under the number, maybe a touchdown or something like that. Either way, I think Bama finds a way to get it done in a tight game there in Tuscaloosa. I think it's going to be a really good football game third Saturday in October. My next game I want to look at, man, probably completely off the radar for a lot of people that may be listening to this podcast, and that's going to be UAB and Memphis. It is the Battle of the Bones. I cannot get past this matchup because, for me, and I think, you know, Memphis fans, to me, don't really look at it as a rivalry. And look, I guess I understand maybe why, but I don't, for me, because I'm an Alabama fan, but I'm also a UAB fan, especially in basketball, but in football as well. And it just seems to me Memphis fans kind of look down on UAB fans. Memphis fans look down on UAB's program. I can understand that in basketball. I don't get it in football. I don't get it at all in football. I'm just going to be real about it. It's not all Memphis fans. It's just some that I see on social media and all of that. Most of the people, I think, most Memphis fans respect UAB. And I think most of the people that I converse with that are from Memphis on a regular basis have a respect for UAB. But there are some Memphis fans that absolutely look down. The Battle of the Bones comes from this, you know, this battle between Memphis Ribs and Alabama Ribs, or Birmingham Ribs. Okay, that's where it comes from, the bones. And the trophy is a rack of ribs. So, UAB comes in 6.5-point underdog in this game. I like the Blazers to come in under that number. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think the game gets up in the 30s. Both these teams have really looked good offensively. I like UAB in this matchup, at least to cover those 6.5. Would not surprise me if Memphis wins the game, but I like Memphis. I like UAB. I'm sorry. I like UAB to cover that 6.5. I got UAB winning that game 38-35. I think it's going to be a really good game there in Birmingham at Protective Stadium. Auburn had a rough week there last week at LSU. They lose that game 48-18. They get Ole Miss this coming Saturday. I like Ole Miss in that football game, but it would not shock me at all if Auburn wins. That game in Auburn would not shock me at all, but I think Ole Miss gets it done. Auburn's passing attack has just been non-existent this season. It's been one of the worst, I think, that I've ever seen. It's really crazy. Really crazy. But again, I pick Ole Miss to win that game. South Carolina, Missouri. I like the Missouri Tigers at home in the Battle of the Columbias. Columbia, Missouri. Columbia, South Carolina. Give me the Missouri Tigers in that game. If they see if they can get themselves ready to play that game against Georgia in a couple weeks. We'll see how that goes. Speaking of Georgia, Brock Bowers out for a few weeks. Not really sure exactly how long. He's going to have actually surgery on that ankle. We'll see if he's back, man. It's going to be, I'm hearing, maybe 4 to 6 weeks, which would be crazy, which would take him right up to possibly SEC championship game and all of that. So, going to be very interesting, to say the least. You have Mississippi State v. visiting Arkansas, give me the Razorbacks in that football game. The Razorbacks, again, I think they get their first win. It is their first home game. They've played well enough to really hang in games. They just have not been able to finish. I like them to finish that game on Saturday. Big game in the ACC. Maybe second biggest game around the country when you really look at it. Duke at Florida State. Number 16 Blue Devils traveling to Tallahassee to do battle with the Noles. The Blue Devils have been a real big surprise. They've been, you got to love them defensively. Actually, you have to love the quarterback. Really good football team, but I think going into Tallahassee is going to be a little bit too much for them. I like the Noles to remain undefeated, remain in the top five, and remain the top dog as far as the ACC has in hopes of making the college football playoff. Again, a really good matchup. Looking forward to that game as well. A lot of games I'm looking forward to. HBCUs are starting to heat up. We have the Magic City Classic here between Alabama A&M and Alabama State next week. I have not talked much HBCUs here the last few weeks. I promise I will definitely get back into that. But I definitely want to pass out some congrats, some kudos to both of those programs. They were homecoming busters last week. A&M going to Grambling and putting it on Grambling, 45-24. Three touchdown victory for the Bulldogs. The biggest, I think it was either the biggest or second largest homecoming loss for Grambling. And then, of course, Alabama State, they go into Jackson State and beat Jackson State on their homecoming. So huge, huge games there in the HBCU ranks. We'll talk a lot more about those games as we get closer to the Bayou Classic and get closer to the Celebration Bowl and all of that. We definitely will not forget those HBCUs. Looking forward to some good football this weekend, definitely. And again, third Saturday in October, the Tua versus Jalen on Sunday night. Huge weekend for Alabama fans, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. Anyway, man, I definitely hope that you enjoyed this show. I definitely enjoyed bringing it to you. It's kind of one of my quicker shows in a way. I can put some long shows out, but I definitely appreciate you sticking with me as long as you have. We'll get deeper into all of this a little bit next week as we talk about this Alabama-Tennessee game. We'll talk these first week in the NBA. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. Looking forward to all of that, and I definitely hope you guys are looking forward to Ball About the South with me again next week. Anyway, I appreciate you joining me. Please like, subscribe, share, all those things. Follow me at CWood on Sports on Twitter or X and IG. I'll see you right back here next weekend. Peace.